This is NPR Illinois. I'm Jamie Dunn. For this week's Illinois Issues Report, Maureen McKinney looks at how Illinois has gone from being a leader when it comes to resettling refugees to a state that seems less welcoming of some people fleeing danger in their home countries. I sat down with McKinney to talk about her story. You will also hear the voices of some of the sources she interviewed. For your story, you talked to a refugee from Syria who now lives in Chicago. He was a doctor in Syria, and he didn't want to give his full name because he feared reprisal for family members who are still in that country.
I used to be a doctor in Syria and was living with my family in the Damascus suburb. And during the attack of the Assad regime, me and other people tried to help the people who were injured in my neighborhood, and I tried to help them as much as I can.
Can you tell us a little about Dr. Jawash's story?
He is now in Chicago. He was in Turkey till 2013 and arrived with his family in Chicago in September. He was one of the lucky ones out of millions. One expert said that the odds of winning the Powerball are probably greater than getting the chance to resettle in the United States.
Dr. Jawash was detained by the Assad regime. What did he tell you about that experience?
He was detained for 10 months for having helped his injured neighbors, and it sounded like the conditions were horrible. There was very little space, very little food, and even though he'd been beaten 7 times, it really sounded like it was harder for him to watch people die who weren't given medication, got no treatment.
And you can hear that in your interview. He's overcome and unable to describe what it was like.
There's one man, he died, and I can do nothing for him. I just watched him dying. And they did nothing for us. They don't give us medication, don't take anybody to the hospital, just leave him dying. Everyone dying. It was really, I cannot.
Jawash said he knew providing medical care to bombing victims put him at risk, but he said that as a doctor, he had to help.
I cannot leave my neighbors injured without helping. I have to do. This is my duty. This is my job. I'm a doctor. I have to help. They are my neighbors, and they are innocent people. They did nothing. I have no other choice. I have to help.
You also spoke with Ed Silverman, the former director of Illinois' Bureau of Refugee and Immigrant Services. One expert called him the dean of U.S. resettlement. But at one point in the 70s, Silverman was afraid he might lose his job. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
He was hired by Dan Walker and had been a lifelong Democrat. So when Thompson won the election, he really didn't know what was going to happen to this department. His staff went without pay for about 6 months. And finally, he decided to have a meeting with Alana Rovner, who was at the time a top administration official in the Thompson administration. It turned out that her family had emigrated from Latvia in World War II.
And here's Silverman sharing a bit of Alana's story.
Her father left Latvia in 1937 to come to America to earn money to bring Alana and her mother. He was disturbed by the growing power of the Nazi Party in Germany. He sent money. Alana's mother buys passage. A month before she was to sail, she went to make arrangements to pick up her furniture and belongings, only to be told that it was a passenger ship and people were limited to a trunk per person. But she was very upset. She sold the ticket. That ship was torpedoed. And everybody died. A couple of months later, she booked passage on the Queen Mary. A week or two before it was to sail, the British Navy commandeered. So Alana and her mother took the last commercial voyage to the United States until after World War II. But, I mean, it was serendipity that here she was sitting as deputy governor and somebody asking her to close down the refugee program. She asked me to stay on. Been fully prepared to move on. I've been a Democrat my whole life. You know, I didn't expect to be employed by a Republican governor.
Silverman found support for his department after talking with Rovner. But at one point last year, Governor Bruce Rauner said he wanted to put a hold on Syrian refugees coming into Illinois. Several other governors have made similar statements saying they fear members of ISIS might disguise themselves as refugees. Can governors block refugees from coming into their states?
No, they can't. And actually, refugees can't decide where they're coming either. In fact, since Rauner made that statement in November, more than 30 refugees from Syria have come to Illinois.
What did Dr. Jawash say when you asked him about Rauner's comments?
He said, actually, most Syrians are opposed to ISIS because it's against the teachings of Islam. He pointed out that in the Holy Quran, to hurt someone else, much less kill them, is a sin against humanity.
I heard about that. I'm really so sorry about that because Syrians never liked ISIS from the beginning. ISIS are attacking Syrians. They are attacking us. In the Quran, in Holy Quran, you cannot hurt other people. You cannot. It's not possible in the Quran. We know that as Syrians.
Other politicians, probably most notably among them is presidential candidate Donald Trump, have said America should stop accepting Syrian immigrants or that the screening process should be tightened. Silverman had this to say about why such statements might be politically popular, but why he thinks they're misinformed.
Part of the problem is the vast majority of American public has lost its awareness of immigration, the struggles that immigrants go through, or the assets that immigrants provide. For example, Detroit, Cleveland, Des Moines have all steadily lost population over the last 15 years. Illinois is not the same degree of loss. Why? We've lost 2 million or more native-born residents to the Sun Belt, etc. They've been replaced by immigrants. In addition to roughly 3,000 refugees a year, we generally get 35 to 40,000 other legal immigrants each year. So who are these people? They're sustaining the labor market. They're taxpayers. They're consumers. They contribute to the cultural and economic fabric of society.
What were some of the reasons your sources cited for what seems to be a recently increased fear of refugees?
Really, since 9/11, there's been a heightened level of paranoia about terrorism. And also, there's been a real distrust of immigration. Illegal immigration is an issue, and the tenuous economy. But the sources also pointed out that the idea that there is an intense scrutiny of Iraqi and Syrian refugees is wrong. Actually, refugees are screened more than anyone else coming into the country. And Syrians are screened more than other refugees.
That was Maureen McKinney talking about her Illinois Issues in-depth report on refugees. To read McKinney's story, go to our website, wuis.org.